No matter where you look, no matter where you go around the world, people talk about the great influence that a mother has. I'll just share a few of those with you. American businessman John Johnson said, "My mother was the influence of my life. She was strong. She had great faith in the ultimate triumph of justice and hard work. She believed passionately in education." From the psychologist Eric Fromm, "Mother's love is peace. It need not be acquired. It need not be deserved." From Billy Graham, "The influence of mother upon the lives of her children cannot be measured. They know and absorb her example and attitudes when it comes to questions to honesty, temperance, kindness, and industry." From former President George W. Bush, "The bond between mothers and their children is one defined by love. As a mother's prayers for her children are unending, so are the wisdom, grace, and strength they provide to their children." From Stevie Wonder, right? "Mama was my greatest teacher, a teacher of compassion, love, and fearlessness. If love is sweet as a flower, then my mother is that sweet flower of love." Everywhere you turn, people are praising their mothers, if they were good mothers. The author Ralph Waldo Emerson, poet, "Men are what their mothers made them." And from one of the great presidents of our country, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." There are many good mothers, but of course, God doesn't want the Christian mother just to be a good mother, but a godly mother. And there's a difference between a good mother and a godly mother. And of course, we know there are bad mothers, okay, as there are bad fathers. This Russian mom on the left was in Moscow trying to sell the innocency and purity of her 13-year-old daughter to the highest bidder. And she got a bidder for $27,000. She was arrested. We say, oh, those Russians, you know. And that's why, one of the reasons why God has us in Russia, because it's very corrupt, and there's one instance here of a mother selling the innocency of her daughter for some money. But it's not just in Russia. Here's a 33-year-old, yes, she's only 33. I think she's haggard because of the drug addiction, alcohol. She's from Florida, and she was doing the same thing, except her daughter was 8 years old, selling the purity of her daughter for $100 before she was arrested. So there are bad mothers. This mother and daughter from Merrick were arrested selling heroin together. Right? So you don't have to look overseas to find bad mothers and the influence upon their children. 2013, a woman died. Her name was Marianne Teresa Johnson Reddick. And her children wrote the obituary. It was a scathing obituary of how evil and wicked their mother was. This is Catherine and Patrick Reddick. People couldn't believe their eyes when they read it. And when their mother died, they sang, "Ding dong, the witch is dead." They did. They literally sang, "Ding dong, the witch is dead." It's a little tune from The Wizard of Oz. A lot different than what we read in Psalms, Proverbs chapter 31, that is, of a godly woman, a godly mother. Her children arise, and they don't sing, "Ding dong, the witch is dead," but they call her blessed. God wants mothers to be godly. So there are good mothers and there are bad mothers, but good mothers aren't necessarily godly mothers. Billy Sunday, the evangelist, said, "I don't believe there are devils enough in hell to pull a boy out of the arms of a godly mother." And that's why we want all mothers to be godly, right? Because you have children that the devil wants to pull, want to destroy. They're really in your arms, okay? Even if they're teenagers or older, okay? You're still their mother. Don't let him pull your children out of your arms. They can't, according to Sunday, Billy Sunday, out of the arms of a godly mother, because you hold on so tight to them. We're going to just compare a couple of moms in the Bible. The first one is Micah's mom, don't know if you can see that there. Yeah, you can. This woman, no doubt, was a believer. She was Jewish. She believed in Jehovah. But she wasn't a godly woman. We'll see why she wasn't godly. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. He's not the prophet Micah, but just a regular Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, about which you cursed, right, and spoke also of in my ears. Behold, the silver is with me. And if someone robbed you, Mom, and you cursed that person, okay, it was me, Mom. His mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. So we see that she curses, but she also is forgiving. Okay, she forgives her son quickly, as mothers do. But said that there's no one as forgiving as a mother. So she forgives her son for stealing the money, but she was angry, of course, when it was stolen. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son. And so here's a mother who believes in God, and she wants to dedicate the silver to the Lord, but rather to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. And so here's a mother who's confused, right? Who's compromising, who says, I want to serve God, I want to please God, so let's make a graven image or so more, which was against the law of God, right? So she was a forgiving mother, though an angry mother, angry at those, not her son, but others who she thought took her money, and a compromising mother. And so he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And so she was promising all 1,100 pieces of silver to God, but ended up taking 200 of them to make the golden idols, or the idols. And what was the result? What was the influence that this mother had upon her son? The man Micah had a house of gods. That's the influence. And he made an ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons, who became a priest in a house of idols. So here was a mother. You could say she was somewhat good. She was a believer, but she certainly wasn't godly. Okay? She was a woman of compromise. Mothers, you don't want to compromise the truth. You don't want to compromise the sanctity of your home. You don't want to compromise on what you teach your children. You don't want to compromise. That's what Micah's mother did. She compromised. And compare that in a moment to Hannah. But A.B. Simpson said, the chief danger of the church today is that it is trying to get on the same side as the world. Instead of turning the world upside down, our master expects us to accomplish results, even if they bring opposition and conflict. Anything is better than compromise, or apathy and paralysis. God, give to us an intense cry for the old time power and the gospel and the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus said, think not that I've come to bring peace, but rather a sword, that I will bring enmity or warfare between the mother and the daughter, between the father and the son. And so, to avoid that warfare, mothers and fathers compromise. We'd rather compromise than have distress in someone's heart. But Jesus said, don't think I've come to bring that kind of peace. I've come with a sword. So we don't want to compromise as Micah's mother did. He ended up having a house of gods. Hannah prayed for a child. She was barren. God gave her a son. She called him Samuel. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had granted my petition made to him. Therefore, I have given him to the Lord. I've given him to the Lord. Micah's mother dedicated her money to the Lord, Hannah dedicated her son to the Lord. Micah's mother didn't keep her promise fully. She kept back some. Hannah kept back nothing. She fulfilled her vow, her promise. Therefore, I have given him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. I'm not going to take him back. In a sense, he's not my son anymore. He belongs to Almighty God. And they worshiped the Lord there. And after he was weaned, which was probably around 2 years of age, she brought him to the temple where Eli the priest was. She would visit him once a year. That was it. Now some would say, that's a bad mother. Okay. No, that's a godly mother. Okay. I've given my son to the Lord. Many a godly mother has had to kiss their children goodbye at the naval yard or the boat launching place when they used to go across seas on boats and ships, or at the airport, to kiss them goodbye as they went to missionary work, never to see them again. Many a mother has had to say, Lord, you gave me this son, you gave me this daughter, I give them to you, they're not mine. Imagine if mother, one of your children, set on fire of God and said, I'm going to Pakistan to preach the gospel. I'm going to go into ISIS territory. God's leading me there. I wonder if we would try desperately to talk them out of it. People tried to talk the Apostle Paul out of his missionary work, and he couldn't. He said, I count not my life dear unto myself. And that's really what a godly mother wants to hear from her children. Mom and Dad, I don't care for this life. I don't care to have nice things in this life. I want to serve the Lord. And he's calling me somewhere. It may be dangerous. And I want your blessing. And even without it, I'm going to go. Christian author Elizabeth George said, what is a godly mother? A godly mother is one who loves the Lord, her God, with all her heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and then passionately, consistently, and unrelentingly teaches her child to do the same. Right? A godly mother is that, says Elizabeth George. A godly mother. Timothy had a godly mother. Here's another aspect of a godly mother. I have been reminded, writes Paul, of your sincere, unfeigned faith, unhypocritical faith, real faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. A faith without hypocrisy, faith unfeigned, was passed down from grandmother to mother and then to Timothy. Godly grandmother, godly mother, and a godly man. In the Gospel of Matthew, we come across the story of the Greek woman, the Canaanite woman, and we see here a transition from a good mother who's concerned for her daughter, as a good mother is, not the one from Russia or Florida where they're trying to sell the innocency of their daughter. Here's a good mother. But we see a transition from a good mother into the beginning of a godly mother. Because God doesn't want you to be just a good mother, but a godly mother. Matthew chapter 15, 22 through 28. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. So she's recognizing, really, the power of Christ. The deity of Christ, O Lord. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She knows there's only one that can help. Only one who has the power over unclean spirits, and that's this Jesus that she somehow heard about. But he answered her not a word. That was the first obstacle, if you recall. He was silent. We see a mother who loves their child will not take silence for an answer. That's indicative of a good mother. They want the cure for their ailing child. He answered her not a word. And then his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying after us." And still she did not turn away. She's a good mother. I want healing for my daughter. We have no peace in our home. We have no joy in our home. Mothers, are your homes full of joy, the joy of the Lord, the peace of Christ? We have to be good mothers and transition into really godly mothers and keep persisting. This woman was praying. She saw the Lord and she was praying to him. She was talking to him, which prayer is, beseeching him, imploring him, making supplication for her troubled daughter, for her whole household, for herself. Remember what she said, "Have mercy on me," she said. "Have mercy on me." Mothers, pray first for yourself. Seek God's mercy for yourself, his grace for yourself, so that you can intercede for your sons and your daughters as this woman did. They said, disciples said, "Send her away." Then he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And she came to worship him anyway. Even though others were being blessed, those in Israel, not her, didn't bother her. She worshipped him. He answered and said, "Then it is not right or meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." We talked about that before, how he insulted her. How the Bible insults us, calls us sinners, unclean, calls us unworthy of heaven, of God's grace. Remember the story of that young Napoleon soldier who was on guard duty, and he fell asleep and he was arrested by his superior officer and sentenced to death. It was during wartime. And the mother of that young soldier came in. The mother did. She ran in before Napoleon himself and threw herself on her face and begged for mercy. "Please have mercy on my daughter." And Napoleon said, "Your son does not deserve mercy." Her answer was, "Then it wouldn't be mercy." And Napoleon relented and he allowed the young man to live. Mercy. "Mercy on me," she first prayed, "so you could have mercy on my daughter." She said, "You're right, Lord. Even though you've insulted me, truth, Lord, if the dogs eat of the crumbs which fell from their master's table." Here, I think, is where godliness began. It was humility. You know, you don't have to be really humble to ask God to heal you or save your business or your church. But when you say, "You're right, Lord, I'm unclean, I'm like a dog," that's the eradication of pride. Mothers, and all of us, need to humble ourselves. Because when we humble ourselves and say, "Lord, it's only by your mercy, only by your grace that I can be a godly mother," then Jesus said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith, and be it unto thee even as you will have it." This is what you want, I'm going to give it to you. Mothers, what do you want from your children? You want to have good jobs, make a lot of money? You're missing the point. You're missing the mark. You want them to follow Jesus Christ and nothing else. Nothing else matters. Not all their diplomas, not their income, not their prestige. Nothing matters but their soul. May they gain the whole world. What should it profit if they lose their soul? What should I give in exchange for their soul? Mothers, may it be said of you, "Great is your faith." You will intercede as this mother did. "Be it unto thee even as you will." So what do you want? What is it that is your will? Her daughter was made whole. This woman wanted all that was unclean. This mother wanted all the filth that was in her daughter to be removed. And so be it. It was done. another godly mother. It may not come out just so in the scripture, but I'm going to read a commentary to you which would help explain it. This was the woman that was barren, another woman that was barren without child, and she went to Elisha the prophet, and he prayed for her and prophesied over her, and she had a child. The woman became pregnant. The next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father. Probably when he was 6 or 7 years old, would be old enough to go out to the fields to visit your father. And as he was there, he said to his father, My head hurts, Dad. My head hurts. The father didn't think it was fatal, which it was. So he said, carry him to his mother. Where else should a sick child go but to its mother? That's what the father... Not that the father didn't love his son, but if he's going to cry, let him be on his mother's lap. And maybe even if he dies, let it be in his mother's arms. And the servants had lifted him up, carried him to his mother. The boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. Here is an act of a godly woman. She brings her lifeless child. She's not going to bury him. Mothers, don't bury your children yet. Don't write them off as hopeless. Don't say they're too far gone, though they may seem to be. They may know the depths of Satan. Bring them to the prophet, and by that I mean to the Word of God. Bring them to the proclamations of God. That's what she did. My son, he's dead. He's going to live again. Because God gave me my child. Why did God give you children, mother? So they could die in their sins and go to hell? Is that why he gave you children? No. That's not why he entrusted these souls to you. So that they would live. We don't want you to be just a good mother, but a godly mother. So now, go to Matthew Henry, who gave some good commentary on this. The father sent him to his mother's arms, his mother's lap, little suspecting any danger in his indisposition, but hoping he would drop asleep in his mother's bosom and awake well. But the sickness proved fatal. He slept the sleep of death, was well in the morning, and died by noon. All the mother's care and tenderness could not keep him alive. And it's true, mother, you see, it's not your love for your children that's going to save them, though it's helpful. It's God's mercy. It's only when you bring them before God daily, as this woman laid her lifeless son on the bed of the prophet, only as you bring them before the throne of grace, out of love for them. So the mother could not take credit for this because she loved her son. No, her love wasn't enough. All the mother's care and tenderness could not keep him alive. A child of promise, a child of prayer, and given in love, you're taken away. Little children lie open to the arrests of sickness and death. But how admirably does this prudent, pious mother guard her lips under this surprising affliction. Not one peevish, murmuring word comes from her. She has a strong belief that the child will be raised to life again. Mothers, that's how we have to pray. Fathers, that's how we have to pray for our children. That they will repent of their sins. James says if we don't pray with expectation, don't bother praying. Pray that they will live and follow Christ with assurance that he will answer prayers. She has a strong belief that the child will be raised to life again, like a genuine daughter of Abraham's faith. She accounts that God is able to raise him from the dead. She had heard of the raising of the widow's son of Zarephath, and that the spirit of Elijah rested on Elisha, And such confidence had she of God's goodness that she was very ready to believe that he who so soon took away what he had given would restore what he had now taken away. By this faith, women received their dead raised to life, we read in Hebrews. In this faith, she makes no preparation for the burial of her dead child, but for its resurrection. For she lays him on the prophet's bed, expecting that he will stand her friend. O woman, great is thy faith. He that wrought it would not frustrate it. Take your children that are dead in their sins. If they're not following Christ, they may be good children, but if they're not following Christ, if they're not on fire for Jesus Christ, they're dead. If they're backslidden, they're dead. As the prodigal's father said of his son, who had gone to the pigsty. He wasn't following his father's orders. My son was dead, now he's alive. He was lost, now he's found. But don't write them off as such. Why? Because the father was waiting. The prodigal's father was waiting for his son to come home. And when he saw him afar off, as he was looking for him, praying for him, waiting, expecting him to come home. Oh, pray with expectation, mothers and fathers. Here's an old drawing of a woman you don't hear much of. Her name was Rizpah. One of the wives of King Saul, actually a concubine of King Saul that gave him two children. It's a sad, sad story, but we can learn from it. And mothers, you can increase your faith through this sad story. David had seven sons of Saul put to death. You see them hanging there. Two of those sons belonged to Rizpah. And we read in 2 Samuel, now Rizpah took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock. From the beginning of harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven. And she did not allow the birds of the air to nest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. Two of her sons were hanging there. You know how long she kept the birds and the beasts of the field away? 6 months. They say 6 months. She lived there, night and day, with little sleep, to protect what was already dead and could not come alive. Mothers, how much more should you stand in the gap for your sons and your daughters and make it a matter of earnest prayer that the roaring lion does not continue to prey upon them and devour them? But do as Rizpah did, in a spiritual way, in a more gallant and noble way, while your children are still alive. And you say, well, I've got good children, they love the Lord, but they could stray. They could backslide. They could end up in the pigsty any day. You can't stop praying because your children are Christians. You must continue. Take an example from Rizpah. Stand in the gap for your children. Charles Spurgeon wrote something under the title, The Church is the World's Hope. And it's true. It's not the White House. It's the church. I wish some of you mothers would meet together sometimes and pray for your children. I think it would be a noble thing for a dozen of you perhaps to come together only for prayer. Not coffee and cake. Not gossip. Not to read a nice book and all that's good. It's okay. It was Ian Bounds that said, Satan takes what is good and with it he destroys what is best. Come together just for prayer. If any of you have unconverted children. So, mothers, be a good mother. I'm sure you are. But be a godly mother, too. Be godly. If your children are gone, or if you don't have any, you're not a mother, you can be a mother in Israel, as the Bible calls it, a spiritual mother to those who need a mother, and join with in prayer. Lord Shaftesbury was a 19th century evangelical social reformer of England. He did tremendous work, a great evangelical Christian. He said, give me a generation of Christian or godly mothers, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. That's the power of a Christian mother, a godly mother. So mothers, God bless you. Be godly, okay? Read the scriptures, see what it is to be a godly mother, to have the faith of that Canaanite woman, to give your children to the Lord, okay? To intercede for them, to fend off the satanic attacks. They may not be fending off those attacks. You have to stand in, mother and father. You have to stand in, as Rizpah did. Let's pray. We do have a gift for your mothers. It's up here. We have a gift. Don't leave without us. Pray. Father, we thank you for godly mothers. And I hope and trust every mother here today is one of those. If not, Lord, there can be a growth, a transition. We don't want to be like Micah's mother, to compromise, because it only leads, Lord, to the downfall of family. Oh, Lord, we can bring restoration into our families. We believe in the God of restoration. You restore the years that the locust and the palmer worm have eaten. You can restore that which Satan has taken. You can restore that which we have failed to do and brought into our homes. Lord, maybe we need forgiveness so that you can restore us. Or maybe humble ourselves like that Greek woman who said, truth, Lord, I'm unclean, but even the dogs receive crumbs from the master's table. Lord, let us have her faith. Let us not turn back. Let us not give up. Let us not bury our children thinking it's hopeless, but let us stand. Let us bring them, as that mother did with her little boy, to the prophet's bed, to your word, to the bed of truth, day and night, night and day, fending off those attacks as Rizpah did. Let us lose our sleep. Let us lose our health. Imagine how Rizpah was sore and tired and lonely, at times frightened, but she would not let those animals touch her sons. Well, we need that kind of faith. We need that kind of resolve. We need godly mothers. Make it so, Lord. It's not our love alone, it's your grace. As that woman said, Lord, have mercy on me, for my daughter is possessed. Have mercy on us, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, mothers. We need you.